Welcome to Call Your Girlfriend,
a podcast for long-distance besties everywhere.
She's Anne Friedman.
She is Aminatou So.
And we're back today. It's so fun to be back.
We are back. And let me tell you, the joy of saying, like, we are not going to talk about ourselves today. We are going to let other people talk about their friendship. The joy is real. This is yet another episode in our Summer of Friendship series, where we are hearing from other pairs of friends who happen to be podcasters about the events that have shaped their friendship, the stories they tell together, like about that friendship, and the times that they have been challenged as friends.
Man, I'm so sick of talking about us, and I never tire of hearing other people tell their friendship story. So, you know, selfishly, it's checking all the boxes for me. But everyone that we have on this series are total pros and are also just like the loveliest humans.
Amazing. Who are we hearing from today?
Well, you're in for a treat because today's episode is very special. Claire and Erica of A Thing or Two are here, and one, we love them a lot, and they have been such inspirations for us in both, like, you know, friends who do business, but also just like boss ladies who do business. And it's, even though I know this story, I never get tired of hearing them say it because it has such good flourishes.
Ugh, so good. Claire and Erica also wrote this book, Work Wife, about working with friends. And so I'm really interested in hearing them talk about the contours of friendship versus collaboration. And yeah, here they are.
Hi, I'm Claire Mazur.
Hi, I'm Erica Cerullo.
And we are the hosts of the A Thing or Two podcast.
Oh my gosh, we so are.
We really are. We've been doing this. We've been doing this podcast in some incarnation since like 2014. Does that sound right?
I think that's right. And it's companion newsletter since like 2012.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway,
we talk about a lot of stuff. We talk about shopping. We talk about friendship for sure. Life stuff, discoveries. We're excited about all sorts of nonsense.
And this, I think the timeline thing we didn't get into that was obviously incredibly relevant to what we're doing right now, which is we've been friends since 2006.
No, 2002.
Oh, God. Wow. Yeah. 2006 is when you graduated
when
college.
I graduated. Well,
I don't know why
college.
That's the relevant number that stuck out in my head.
2002 is when I graduated from high school and started college and met you on the campus of University of Chicago.
Yes.
Which I don't remember like the very, very first meeting, but I remember being aware of you before our first formal meeting. Do you remember the first time seeing me?
Well, I remember the first time seeing you. So the first time I saw you, I was having a very ill-advised lunch with an ex-boyfriend, Brian, okay. Because I know you're like going to ask.
Well, you just saw the wheels turning and it was like, and you saw me process. No, I'm not going to say his name out loud.
I didn't see all of that. All of it.
Who knows who's listening?
Who knows? I feel like first name. You know how many Brians there are? I think plenty.
Yeah.
And I was having an ill-advised lunch with him, meeting
in the
him
nice dining hall.
In the nice dining hall, okay. Meeting him outside of the nice dining hall in the mini quad there. And you walked out of your dorm, which was the like fancy new dorm that I had lived in the year before. And you had running gear on and were like pulling your hair up into a big like bun ponytail situation on the top of your head.
Hilarious that I had running gear on because I was not a runner and I embarked on like, at best, a 3 week long effort to be a runner. My
like new college,
year of
college, new you.
Yes, exactly. And I remember like lots of people seeing me and commenting on it and thinking I was a runner. And it's just funny because anybody listening would be like, oh, of course it makes sense that the first time Erica saw Claire, she was running because now I am a really big runner. But you really caught me on one of like, I don't know, five runs.
I partially clocked it because I was at that point a runner and I'm not anymore.
Yeah.
But was like, oh, like this, okay. Because that was pretty, like a fairly rare thing on the University of Chicago campus.
Totally.
And also I clocked it because you had great hair.
Thanks.
Just like really excellent hair. So that was like my first like, who is this person moment. And then you started dating this dude who...
We can call him Mike.
We can call him Mike.
Yeah.
Who... Is this too much of an identifying feature? Who wore cargo or carpenter jeans?
They were like, no, they
I
were
think
like
they were cargo.
They were
cargo jeans,
but I think they were also carpenter. Yeah, they were like cargo jean pants. They were not good.
No, that wasn't what you liked about him. But then
he was on the basketball team, and your ex was also on the basketball
team.
Yeah, okay.
Like really, yeah. God, these details sound right. So trite.
But. But, you know, it meant our social circles were starting to, like, overlap.
Yeah. So I remember, like, seeing you at a party or two parties at your boyfriend's house who lived with a friend of mine. Another Mike, somehow a different Mike.
Uh-huh.
And, like, we maybe, like, exchanged hellos or, like, I don't know, maybe were introduced to each other, like, in a passing way. And then I remember you saw me we saw each other the next day or whatever on the quad and passed. And you were like, oh, hi, like, in greeting, which, again, was something that didn't happen at the University of Chicago because people were real nose to the sidewalk when they're walking around campus.
Right, because U of C has a reputation for being, like, just socially awkward. And they sell shirts at the bookstore that say where fun comes to die. So there was, I always said while I was there that, it was like, I didn't know how big the entire student body was, but the size of the student body that was actively social felt like the size of my high school. So it felt like high school in some way.
Yes, that feels exactly right.
Then we had this like mutual frenemy, we say.
Yes, mutual frenemy.
Who's credited in the acknowledgments of our book, Work Wife.
Yes.
Because none of this would have happened without him, I suppose.
It probably would have, but he really was so intentional about it that I do think he explicitly set up a friend date, which I think deserves a good amount of credit. Like,
yeah,
this was someone who'd lived in my dorm. It basically like lived in our dorms in my freshman year and your sophomore year. And he was just a real like character, like in the way that coming from the Midwest in Illinois, I didn't really know existed. Like he went to Sidwell Friends in DC and just like was very worldly. He called Illinois a flyover state, even though he was physically there and like going to school there. And just like had a real like attitude about him.
He was really intentionally provocative. And like now... Now having a sense to his dad was a like Pulitzer Prize winning journalist and I think was like a war reporter. Maybe. Is that right?
Yeah.
Either way, now having more of a sense of the media landscape, like everything about his upbringing and the way it would have informed his personality makes a lot more sense of like the sort of like type that he was emulating, I suppose.
I just didn't know it was a type at the time.
No, I mean, yeah, I had encountered ones like him before. But so you and he had been in the same dorm, you'd been friends before, and then he and I were in the same dorm and he rightly was like, you two should meet. And I think the things on a really superficial level that he probably identified in us that like he was like, oh, these two would like each other, is that we were like interested in design and fashion and pop culture, but also academically minded and also kind of didn't put up with his shit.
Didn't mind
being poked and could stand up to it and would push back on stuff and like didn't mind getting into an argument,
which is something he just like respected in his friends in general. Like that was a quality he sought for sure. For sure.
So then we were set up on this lunch date in that same cafeteria, the same fancy cafeteria. And I don't know why I have like one of my like just very visual memories from that is standing at the checkout line with you. Like I can picture that.
You can?
Like, I don't know why. Like I can't picture a lot of other stuff, but it's like that's a snapshot. That is a snapshot in my head standing behind you as we checked out. And like I think you were wearing a pale pink shirt, but I might just be conflating that with the fact that the only colors you wore in college, you had a strict rule, pink, black, and white, right? That was it?
Gray? Yeah. Colors between black and white were fine. So, you know, a pale gray, a charcoal, totally fine. And pink.
And that was definitely one of the first things. I mean, in general, I was attracted to the fact that you were interested in fashion. You liked fashion. And you, I think beyond that, had like a general curiosity and a knowingness about things. Like we had similar references that felt really specific and not common. And I think this was pre like this version of the internet. And in this version of the internet, everybody has the same references. But then it was like the fact that you knew fashion brands that weren't just sold at, you know, wherever everybody was shopping.
At the mall. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like, oh, we have this thing in common and nobody else does. And I was super interested in this, in the fact that you had made this rule for yourself about the pink, black, and white. Like I wanted to ask a million questions about it and was just like, and respected it for sure.
One of the early stories that you told me that I remember just feeling like, oh, wow, this is like, okay, this, I like this. I am into this. I'm into the like, just like exuberantly throwing yourself at things was mm-hmm. telling me that on road trips, you and your brother in the back of the car would play a game where you would go through fashion magazines and like cover the name, the credits and identify who the models were.
Who the designers were.
Identify who the designers were.
I haven't.
And your brother was good enough at this to compete.
Because, I mean, I need to bring this up with my brother and see how much he remembers about it. Because my mom would drag us shopping everywhere. My mom was really into fashion too, which was where I got the references from. But yeah, he would be really good at it. And so we'd be like, I think that's Armani. Like, I think that's Calvin Klein. It's insane now that I think about it, and it's insane to me that my brother, who was not like deeply interested in the same way, like he
was exposed. Been to
the museum. He was exposed, and he has a really good memory.
He is a historian, so he's
a historian. It's true.
I recognized very early on that, you know, you all, like these fashion references, yes, and that you were also mm-hmm. just like very cosmopolitan, but in a different way than our other mutual friend was. Mm-hmm. And as someone who was not at all, I was like very attracted to that.
But it's funny because I thought of you as someone who was like, and you still are this way, who was like very proactive about seeking it out. Like I felt like we were the same. I mean, I'd grown up in Wilmington, Delaware, and like granted it was like on a coast and I'd spent a lot of time in New York, but I felt like we had both had this same experience of like just really loving magazines and being early to the internet and just seeking this stuff out because it wasn't just automatically around us.
That's right. I think that's right. We both lived in small towns that were like 2 to 3 hours from a big city. Mm-hmm, and knew that we wanted to be in the big city more than we wanted to be in the small town.
Yeah, for sure. And then we also both loved Sanrio and knew that there was something like fashion about it. Totally. Do you know what I mean? Like it wasn't just being ironic or like...
It was not like, ironic at all.
Right.
Affection for Sanrio has never been ironic and I don't feel like yours has either.
No, and I don't think it also wasn't like a rave kid phase or something, like the way, you know what I mean? Like rave kids would carry lunch boxes and fetishize like cartoon characters. We were like, no, Sanrio is design.
Is good design. This is good design.
Yeah.
And it's ageless and timeless.
That's right. In fact, I just like found a note you wrote me on Sanrio stationery from like, I don't know, probably 2006, like floating around my house. I mean,
there's still Sanrio stationery in my apartment.
Yeah, same.
Why wouldn't there be?
There was this really good question on the list of like conversation prompts about what's something you get from this friendship that you don't get from any other, which is funny because I think I have always felt that our relationship, our friendship is like extremely distinct. And even before we started Of a Kind, and like when we started Of a Kind, I was very aware of the fact that there is nobody else that I could have started a business with that I'm all, well, period, but especially that I'm friends with, because you always get that question of like, oh, you're really starting a business with a friend and like, that's so crazy. And how is it going to work? And I would always be like, I totally get it. It's just that this one friendship, it makes sense for. And I think part of it is that our friendship has always been, there's like an intellectual and academic sameness is my best way of thinking
about it, which
sort of speaks to that idea of like, yes, like we had the same interests in fashion and we didn't immediately deep dive into like, this boy broke my heart and that's what we're bonding over. Like we bought, like our initial bonding and like the basis of our friendship was really interest,
like more interest based.
Think that that's not as common in a lot of my friendships, and it's not as common maybe in female friendship in general, because I think a lot of female friendships are just like more emotional.
And it wasn't fair? That we were like thrown into a situation together and like,
yeah.
It wasn't like we sat next to each other in a class and worked together right. on a project or something. Yeah. I don't know. It does feel like in some ways we really chose it.
Yeah. Oh, we definitely did. And we now have much more of like a networked friendship where like we have so much mutual friend overlap, but that really wasn't until we started Of a Kind and that started to happen more naturally. But back then we liked each other's friends. We knew each other's friends. We'd see each other at the same parties, but we were like our own little, like we were like
twosome.
A duo. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were also not like BFF inseparable. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't that. It was just like, this is my friend.
It was just like, this is my friend.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I also think that like something over time that I think has become so core to our relationship in this sense that like, why I just could never, would never have any other relationship like this is just the like proximity mm-hmm. that we've had to each other for such a long time and spending like so much time together. And also, I think the empathic way that we try to approach each other's lives. Mm-hmm. And there has just been such like, God, deep sharing.
Oh my gosh.
Over the last, you know, 12 years at least. Just seeing each other every day, more or less.
Every day and being exposed to every part of each other's lives. Somebody asked me the other day, they were like, is it healthy? Like, is it actually a healthy relationship? And I was like, yeah, no, I really, it is. And I was like, I tried to think of how to explain it. I was like, it's really like sibling-like, I guess, like is the best way to try to describe it. We just like know each other so well. And of course we get annoyed with each other, but like it's become familial at this point.
I think that's obviously fair.
Yeah, I still have a hard time articulating, like...
It's like, God, my relationships with my brothers aren't like this, so I'm not sure.
Right. No, I mean, same.
And neither of us had sisters to, like, be able to gauge it thing. Against. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
I think that now our relationship is different because we've had, like you said, like, this level of intimacy that is, like, hard to describe. But if I, like, may... Like, when we started Of a Kind, like... We were such close friends. I saw you all the time. There was like, you were absolutely one of my closest friends.
We saw each other
friends.
Weekly.
But there was still stuff like, we weren't like diving into it about each other's sex lives in the way we know now.
Yeah.
Because like, once you spend this much time together. But it wasn't the sort of like, it wasn't like a raw friendship. It was like a very cerebral in some way, maybe friendship. Like, I just think we had the same interest. We would like do these activities together. And we were super close and super there for each other emotionally, but it's like more transformed into this one that feels like really like all in.
Well, I think there was like less need for vulnerability before.
Vulnerability. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I think the vulnerability is a big part. And I mean, certainly if I can think back on these, we were like turning points in our relationship. And I think probably all of them are moments where we were super vulnerable with each other in a way that we like hadn't been or weren't with other people. And
what were the moments for you?
There's like a couple that I can think of. Okay. Two that like really speak to vulnerability and that felt new in a way. One, when you showed up at my shitty apartment, like more or less unannounced, like maybe you texted him like, are you home?
I think I called and I was crying. Like, I was leaving a bar and I called and I was crying and I was like two blocks from your apartment and was like, are you home?
Yeah. And you came over and cried in my bed about a boy. And I think there were two things that like really surprised me about that. And I remember like talking to you and actively registering this surprise and having to be like, you're gonna have to process the surprise later because she needs you to just like be a good friend right now, so like try to like just compartmentalize that. The two things that surprised me were one, that you like a could be hurt by a boy, which I know is crazy, but you were always just so composed and confident and like
I don't
didn't
feel like that at
drama.
All
Oh my God, like I just always felt like you, I mean, I knew that there were like you'd had your share of boy problems, but this felt like it always felt like you had been so, I mean, this is the wrong word, but like adult about it, where you were like, well, that didn't work or that sucks or he was a jerk or whatever. And I'm moving on. And the right thing to do is to just like forget about him forever. And this was a moment where you were admitting like defeat in some ways. Or
totally.
Something. Like, and that it was really hurting you. And then the other was like, I don't know if it was surprise, but like felt so privileged that it was me who you decided to come to about it. And I was just like, wow. So really? That was one. Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, oh, like, you know why? Because I was always such a mess. So I would say another thing.
You were like, your room was a mess, but you yourself weren't a mess.
No, but emotionally I was a mess. So like, who was I to give you advice about boys?
You weren't emotionally a mess.
Well, the thing, I can't remember the chronology of this, but another sort of like turning point in our relationship that at the time felt totally normal to me, but I look back on and I'm like, that's pretty remarkable, is you spent a summer abroad in, or a quarter abroad in Barcelona.
Yes.
And we would send the most epic emails back and forth. And I can't actually remember if you sent the most epic emails, but I know that I would just emotionally.
Oh, I definitely did.
I would just emotionally dump on you about this guy that was breaking my heart at the time, all the time. And you would write back really thoughtful responses. And at the time it was like, of course she's my friend, she would do this. But now I look back and I'm like, the like accountability that you felt to me to like address my boy problems over long emails while you were abroad, like doing your own thing, was so generous.
Claire, that's like such a kind framing of it. I definitely was dumping emails back and I had a BlackBerry.
That like, I remember.
I had like an early BlackBerry, which like why? But I did. And I would just like lay there in bed, study abroad and like with my thumbs type out just these like long missives.
And to this day, you will do more communicating on a like on an actual phone with your thumbs than I ever would. And I always attribute it to your early adoption of the BlackBerry.
I think that's
because like
fair.
I will never write a full, I rarely write emails on a phone period unless I have to. And you'll just like bang them out. And I'm like, wow.
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, we would have to otherwise go to a school that was like 20 blocks away or go to the internet cafe, which was four blocks away. So it was a huge privilege, obviously. Yeah. Have a BlackBerry. Yeah. What a nonsense device. One of the things that I always think about is when you were contemplating breaking up with a bad boyfriend.
This was the third one I was going to bring up. It's funny because at that point we really were super close and like, I mean, we were super close the whole time,
as an adult way, not a college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And at that point I like also understood that what we were in was like a lifelong, like impactful, meaningful relationship. But I didn't confide in anybody that I was contemplating breaking up with him because it was really complicated and he was really toxic and jealous and it was an abusive, honestly. And so it was really scary for me to admit to anybody, including myself. And I remember we were at Mermaid Inn, the one in East Village, or just like Greenwich Village, I guess, sitting at a high top. And I told you and you reacted so just like, yeah, okay. I think
makes
like
sense.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah, and it was
so meaningful and such a turning point in my ability to do this thing that was ultimately like I still look at it as like one of the most life-changing decisions I made. And you didn't say like, oh my God. You didn't say like, thank God I've been dying for you to come to this realization. You'd also stuck with me through the relationship, which was another thing. But
well, I think I was a little bit blind, honestly, to the fact that that the relationship was of the nature that it was.
So that is like, I think another important like piece of the biography of our relationship or the history of our relationship is that I was for 4 years in this super toxic relationship with someone who really intentionally isolated me from all of my friends. And for whatever reason, he identified you as someone who was not a threat. And so you were one of my like lifelines in a way throughout those 4 years where it was like you were one friend I was able to still hold on to and socialize with. And
because I was like allowed in, I don't think I had a true sense of what was going on. Like I knew that he was controlling to a certain extent, mm-hmm. or at least like very stringent or like particular, definitely. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he also liked my boyfriend, now husband, in a way that was sort of unlikely and surprising.
They were politically aligned.
they were, and they both liked to play basketball.
That's right. Exactly. And it's funny because I remember during that period, I mean, I guess another thing about the dynamic of our relationship and that like came through then too, or like I remember being conscious of them, was that like I never wanted to let you down. I never wanted to disappoint you. I always wanted to like meet your standards, which like I think you've always just been sort of like more mature than most, or like, you know, especially when we were in college and stuff. And so I went to great pains in that relationship to be like, no, we can't be late. We can't cancel on them. We can't like this, that, the other, because it was like, this is like the one friendship I still have. And I don't want her. I didn't want you to be like, what the fuck is going on there?
What's this flakiness? Or like,
yeah,
what's,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so yeah, I think that definitely informed our friendship too. And in fact, it did, because when we came up with the idea for Of a Kind, I hadn't broken up with him yet. And I think us initially coming up with the idea helped me get the courage to break up with him, because I saw this thing on the other side that I would never be able to do with him. And like, for many reasons, you were the only person in my life who like I ever would have, we would have ever shared this idea together. Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
And so it was just like, yeah, that was like, yeah, that was part of it too.
The other time where I felt like our relationship went to a new place for me was I had a lot of parental drama for like long stretches of time, for like full year of just like mental health stuff and like whatever. Mm-hmm. And I have a husband who is incredibly supportive, but like incredibly supportive in his way. Mm-hmm. And during that time, you are incredibly supportive in a very different way. And mm-hmm. I think I had these like flashes of being like, God, like I can't imagine not having you. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine like trying to go through this with like just this one person as a support, who like, again, is trying, like is doing everything mm-hmm. that he can to be supportive. But you both support in such different ways. Mm-hmm. And you have such an interest in like, maybe interest isn't fair, because maybe you didn't have an interest at all, but you have an ability to like tap into and latch on to all of the like granular parts of things.
And I think it's fair to call it an interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll just like dive in, you know, you will dive in really deep, and you knew every player. You knew the name of every doctor. You'd be like, is that this doctor or this doctor? Or like, what was that? Or like, how did that, was the medication this or this or that? And I needed that. Like, I needed someone to be able to just dump on sometimes, and also to be able to like provide really informed feedback that I didn't need to be like getting up to speed constantly, or like whose opinion I could trust to understand this, and not see that like me dumping on you was like flailing or like a cry for, I don't know, was like something else. I don't know.
Yeah. That was the fourth thing I thought of too, is this like that moment. And it's funny because that facet of our friendship like took on such a has like through the years taken on such different like shapes and meaning. And I will say that like, is a weird way to put it, but it's a privilege. Like, I remember, this is such a weird thing, but so I remember this was before Of a Kind, when this like all the first sort of like this started. And I remember you probably G chatted me and you were like, hey, are you available, like can you get drinks like today or tomorrow? And back then, you know, I don't know how we were so busy, we were in our 20s, but we were always like planning stuff weeks in advance. And I was like, wow, she wants to see me really soon, and it's like really like intentional,
feels pressing.
And it feels pressing. And I was like, oh my god, she's totally gonna tell me she's engaged, oh my god, this is like so exciting. And like, just I knew you had an announcement to make, and we met at the lobby of the Greenwich Hotel.
That was extremely fancy of us.
Incredibly fancy. I walked by it recently and I was like, wow, I like never go there. And
we were like 24 and 25 year old dummies. And they, okay, sure.
I can like look and picture, like that's another very visual memory. Like I can like look into that room and see us at the exact table we were sitting at. And I remember when you told me like the actual news, I was like, I felt privileged that you were like, I got to tell Claire, and I want to like, and that you wanted like my thoughts or just my support or whatever. And then it morphed into this thing where like sitting across a couple's desk from you, however many years later, and you'd have to like run and get a phone call to just be able to be like, I feel so lucky right now that I can like be the type of person she needs to be while dealing with this in a work environment, and like can tell everybody else, like, we're going to push this meeting by an hour and not talk to you about it, and just be like, know what you needed in that moment.
Felt
like, Yeah, like great to be able to do.
Well, we've talked about so many times just the value of having that relationship at work and like the person who knows at least just like enough about you, yeah. enough about like what shit you're dealing with to be able to like, I don't know, like step in and like tap in basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And certainly you've done that for me in a million different ways. Like I am the first one that comes to mind is like when my grandmother was dying and I remember like, you know, obviously you were close with her too, but to you to just understand.
Yeah.
But like you understood like the gravity of it and the nature of it and like all the players involved and just everything. It felt very like seamless the ways in which you were able to support me through that. And then a million other things, like many of which in retrospect seem super petty, but like both of us, you know, dealing with apartment stuff or moving stuff that's been dramatic where you're just like, I get it. And I know that it's awful. And yeah. The work thing, it just makes such a big difference in the work environment to have that.
What have been the times when you felt like our relationship was strained or hard, or were you ever like, is this going to like fray and crumble?
I've never gotten to the point where I'm like, is this the end? I just remember when we started Of a Kind in those very early, like incredibly fraught days. I mean, I just feel like 3 months or however many months leading up to the launch and the first like 3 to 6 months post launch. So let's say a year even, everything just felt so fraught. And I remember having a moment walking from my apartment on the Upper West Side to the nearest UPS store to drop off shipments, like e-commerce orders, having this light bulb moment or something, this revelation. I was like, oh, if this thing doesn't work out, that will probably be the end of our friendship. Yeah. And it was like really when it hit me. And several years later, still doing Of a Kind, at some point I realized that the business could fail and we would be fine. But in that moment, I was just like, fuck. And it's funny because like obviously that should have occurred to me before and I maybe had deep down known it, but I really had that moment then and was just like, okay, in addition to everything else I've put at stake for this project,
like now this is on the line too.
Yeah.
I feel the same about that time, and maybe mine's like a little bit earlier, and it's like when we were like determining the terms of the business and like how that was all coming together, and that felt very tense and like lawyers and like
it was awful,
just awful and official. Yeah. And you were the CEO, and that was like, I think, a place of having to get to, of being okay with that being a title, and but not necessarily feeling like, not letting that be like, say something about, I don't know, like say something about like who we were as friends.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Like,
I think like basically like for the first time we were being assigned roles, right?
Yeah.
And being assigned roles for the first time in your relationship when you were like however many years in, like 8 years into a friendship, it's like, oh, we've never talked about like what role we would each play, right? Because we're just like friends. And then all of a sudden there like was conversations about like who's in charge of this and who's in charge of that, and that's hard.
It was awful. And it was like, you know, obviously, in retrospect, so much of it was inconsequential and driven by like ego and insecurity and all of this stuff. And at the same time, it did feel like this really important test that like if we could get through that,
yes,
then like we could get through so much more. And because it truly was probably the hardest like argument we've ever had, or like, you know, conversations to like, I don't know if it's like an argument, but like conflict or like tension process we've ever gone through. And I remember knowing at the time being like, this absolutely sucks. And also once it's done, it's done. And it does feel like this important part of things.
Agreed.
Part of the process. And in that same way that like, you know, when we give advice to other people starting businesses with partners and they're like, how do I split up equity or how do I do this? And you're just like, the thing is, you have to actually have the conversation because to protect yourself because you have to do this, but B, because like if you can't do that, then you're not going to be able to deal with all the other stuff coming at you.
100%. You can't just be like, we're going to be co-CEOs and we're going to have the same, mm-hmm. and no one's in charge of anything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you remember the first time when we met each other's families?
I don't know if this is actually the first time, and I feel like I must have met your parents before this, but the thing that I like really remember is going to that pancake place in Chicago with it's definitely the first time I met your brothers. And yes. I just remember them eating like the most, so many and the most ridiculous, like
in Bucktown or like Wicker Park.
Yeah, I feel I'm surprised you don't remember the name of it.
I loved it.
It had O's in it.
Yeah.
It was, like,
I can't
Bobo
remember.
Or like,
I loved it. I went there a lot. But they did have these, like, it was always like stacks of four pancakes and it'd be just
pineapples
like covered
and chocolate
with
chips
like,
and,
right. It was like Hawaiian and then it was like caramel and pineapple and blah, blah. And there was always, because it's the Midwest, a line at like 8:30 in the morning on weekends.
Oh yeah. And I think that was the first time I met your brothers, and they were very much little brothers, and they were like kind of quiet and not obviously interested in me or participating in the conversation, and they were just really focused on these absurd pancakes. And I think that helped me get a sense of like you as someone with little brothers, whereas you had just been this like sort of like independent, like very on top, like, you know, self-possessed person. And I was like, oh, this is also part of your life.
Yes, totally. I don't know if this was actually the first time that I can't remember meeting your dad for the first time. I remember meeting your mom or like interacting with your mom. She was like down on campus one day and she was in the C shop, which was like the cool, one of the cool coffee shops on campus. And also like it makes so much sense that your mom would have been like nosing around campus.
I feel like I know that this isn't true, but in my mind, she would show up unannounced on campus. And like,
I'm sure that's not true, but
someone you must understand that we went to college in Chicago and my mother lived in Delaware and like still lives there. And she travels a lot for her job, but the consistency with which she would manage to route flights through O'Hare was shocking. Like she was
impressive.
There constantly. Yes.
Impressive.
I like this question. How is our on-air friendship different from our off-air, offline version?
I mean, we're like less upbeat. We're for bitchier. Sure. I don't know.
We talk a lot more shit. Like, of course we don't. I mean, we try in general to like not go negative on the internet, including the podcast universe, in part because like, well, for a lot of reasons, not to be jerks. And like our opinions aren't always solid. And sometimes you just need to vent and like your opinions change. And I don't want this thing out there in the world. But I feel like, look, we're obviously opinionated on the podcast, but we're way more opinionated in real life.
Yes. And our opinions are like even less vouched for or like,
I'm not as willing to like stand up to them. I mean, obviously we're very close. We can like say a lot of shit that is like eyebrow raising and that the other one will be like, I know you didn't really mean that, or you didn't mean it in the way you said it or whatever.
Or like, I get what you meant.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. That's one. Yeah, we're definitely less upbeat. I mean, we talk all the time. So we are also have like moments where it's just like one of us is so tired or whatever it is. We have gotten slightly better about not going too deep on topics we know we want to talk about on the podcast. But like a lot of times I know what your general take on something is going to be because we just talk so much all day.
This is, I think, a good one to end on, maybe. Mm-hmm. What is one of our longest running inside jokes, aka personal memes? Oh. I struggle with this. I don't really know.
I don't know if I know either. Well, okay. Well,
I was hoping you would. I was really hoping you would, clearly.
I mean, I feel like we actually don't do this anymore, but at some point we were pretty good at like the shop anywhere of like if you had to shop in that weird prom dress store that we just passed, like what would you get?
Yes.
I mean, we love to fantasize about setups.
Yeah, true.
And casting movies.
Yeah, well, and just like casting or like who would play this person that we know in real life in a movie. Like there was like definitely a period of time where we were doing a ton of that. We would just like sit, we'd be eating a meal and we would spend the entire time being like, no, I think it's Ben Stiller. I think it's Ben Stiller that would play that like VC we just met because of X, Y, and Z.
Well, and I think, you know, to like take that one step further, we're just very interested in like casting the world and being like, this publication needs to write this article and someone needs to start this business. It shouldn't be us and it'll probably fail, but it's going to happen. And so like, let's just like get a move on with that thing.
Lots of ideas we don't want to execute on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was like, what, 2012 when we were being like someone needs to just start a restaurant that's just bowls, just like rice bowls and grain bowls and da da da. We're not interested in doing it, but we're just, and we've always got a lot of article ideas we want to pitch for somebody else to write. And we've always got a lot of, you know, people who we think should be in X role. Like, tell us a job, an empty job role, and we're like, this Ooh. Person and that Ooh. Person. And we think, you know, we're just, we're fucking nosy and like, and want to just do all this stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. I loved this. This was fun. That's the show. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. If you want more where this came from and want to support us in general, head to athingortwohq.com and sign up for Secret Menu, which will get you weekly access to members-only content.
You can find us many places on the internet, callyourgirlfriend.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, we're on all your faves. Subscribe, rate, review, you know the drill. Call us back, leave a voicemail at 714-681-2943. That's 714-681-CYGF. You can email us, callyrgf@gmail.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter at callyrgf. And you can buy our book, Big Friendship, anywhere you buy books, but we are really partial to independent bookstores. Our theme song is by Robin, original music composed by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs. Our logos are by Kenesha Sneed. Our producer is Jordan Bailey. This podcast is executive produced by Gina Belvac.